Yeah.
Put them up while it's nice enough and...
All right, well, light is on and we will get this meeting going. Good evening. We'll start the November 18th Park Board meeting. Has everyone had a chance to go over the September minutes? Changes, any questions?
I'll make a motion for approval.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Pass, okay. New business. I'm going to add an item C for vice chair. Okay, so, new business, joint ventures.
Just wanted to inform you guys that joint ventures, we collectively went out and we purchased a ball field roller. This was kind of a me and Christian Unger thing. It's from Midwest Machinery. It was $12,900, but it is 8 foot wide and it weighs full, the drum weighs like 5,700 pounds. So, we haven't got it yet. It's supposed to be shipped to Midwest, or SEMA and Wanamingo, whatever you wanna call it, in the next couple weeks here. So, just kinda wanted to give you an update. Otherwise, we've never really had, we had a pull behind roller for like your yard tractor, so...
Was that one you fill with water?
Well, yeah, yep.
And drain it?
So the one that we purchased has, and you guys, this is the exact thing, so everyone can take a look at it.
Where you guys storing it at?
That'll be, we actually, we have room at the city shop, but Christian worked with the driver's ed people and got them out of that quote-unquote van shed. So we'll have more room to store stuff there, so like we can get the top dresser over there, the aerator, and maybe some of those attachments for our skid loaders. So we'll have some room anyway.
What did that break down for us as cost? You got that right offhand or?
What's that, as far as...
$12,000, you split it?
The $12,900, it just comes out of joint ventures.
Just, oh, okay.
Account.
Okay.
So the city and the school put in $10,000 every year, Manorville puts in $5,000.
All right.
You have something big enough to pull that with when you get...
Yep, our tractor, we had them, that's kinda why I went through Midwest, 'cause they have our tractor, our model and everything. So they did the math on what would be...
Capacity for pull.
Correct. And then the other discussion was the width. We really don't have any limitations for our fields, but the school does. So we had to make sure we found something that was compatible for all the fields.
Through their gates and stuff?
Get into the gates, yep. So...
Any more questions? Okay. Next, Caston Aquatic Center.
So, this is probably the biggest, most exciting news I have for everyone. We have a manager. I gave everyone his resume. He actually, when I had the blast email go out to all the teachers, he was the only one that reached out. Probably a month later or so, he said he was kind of dragging his feet and forgot about it. But I met with him a few times, super nice guy, younger, he's, you know, Phi Ed health teacher. He was a swim coach, he had his WSI, he had his lifeguarding license. He's very eager to take this job on. So, I don't know, I'm excited. And he's got a good rapport with the students. So most of the kids that are gonna be working there this year probably have had him as a teacher. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that would be the other thing. I'd like to push this through us to get it to council before the first of the year so that I can kind of coordinate some things with him and go through some training items and.
Okay, sure.
I'll make that motion to approve David Baller as the aquatics manager for summer 2025.
Yeah, just 26.
Sorry, school break.
Yep, yep. Yeah, so I mean, obviously the pay will adjust accordingly with the minimum wage, so it's only going to go up whatever, 25 cents or whatever, but yeah.
Hey, we have a second?
I'll second it.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, measure passes. Good. Changes for the 2026 season, items getting fixed.
So obviously this past year was pretty tough with storms. We have removed three umbrellas from the pool fully, and they will not be there for the 2026 season. We spread them out enough to where, you know, everyone's kind of got shade in every part of the pool. Some of the spots that we took them out didn't really make sense that we had umbrellas there in the first place. So first off, the reason why is obviously we had damages to our umbrellas. So not only is a brand new umbrella top like $2,300, but a lot of the ribs or structure parts of the umbrella were damaged, and we were able to make seven umbrellas out of all the parts that we had. And there's still some good ribs and stuff, but just to put it in perspective, to replace all the ribs and structure on the umbrella, you're looking at $2,500 for all the ribs, then another $2,500 for the umbrella top. So it gets pretty spendy. I'm not saying we won't put them back in the future. I've been kind of messing around with some ideas of they have a mesh umbrella top rather than a canvas top, which would probably allow a little more airflow through the umbrella top, which might, you know, mitigate some of that wind damage that we've had. And actually those mesh tops are cheaper. So I didn't want to go ahead and start ordering more canvas tops when I might want to switch to the mesh ones down the road. So we'll just kind of see what kind of backlash or if anyone even says anything about the lack of the three umbrellas. I don't know. One other item was the covering for the water slide. You know, that got ripped, and that's, yep, so we actually removed that and the framing of it, so there will be no shade up on top, which for the lifeguard, we can get an umbrella up there for them. And we have those on hand, so.
It's not that much wait time for the kids, though.
No, no. And realistically, even if the line's down the stairway of the slide, you know, what, three kids are up in the shade?
Yep.
So, that's kind of the, I'd say that's kind of the biggest thing. My guys, we kind of prepped the steps to the slide, at least the bad ones. We got them washed up, power washed them. We scraped and pressure washed the diving board. So in the springtime, we're going to reapply the grit paint. Hopefully that'll help. I know the diving board's falling apart as far as that paint. It's fully chipping off. So we've done it before where we've scraped it down and put new coat on. So that'll be okay. We're going to order new lounge chairs, probably like 25 lounge chairs, because I was not aware that we had about 25 broke, so we'll get that taken care of. I'm hoping to do that yet this year while they're on sale. And then the floor. We talked about the pitting of the floor. Tim wants me to try to address it, so I've been scouring the web for a product that could be applied with minimal, let's say, prep work, I guess, because everything I've looked up, it's like grind the concrete all the way down, you know, wash it, whatever. I did find a material called perma rubber used in pools, where it's pretty much just wash it clean as best as possible, scrub it, layer it down. It, you know, you can get X amount of millimeter thickness. So actually, we were trying to get it done this fall, which the weather didn't cooperate because we need to have above 40 degrees at night. And it took a little longer to ship than expected. So our plan is in springtime, once the weather cooperates, that we'll get that done too. Hopefully it'll...
Is that the entire pool or just...
It'll be, if you go in there, it'll be just that square where all the pitting is.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be the whole pool, no.
It'd be a good test for the product is what it's gonna be.
Correct, yep.
You know, if it works in the future.
And, you know, I think it was $850 for the product, for the primer and the product. So that's not, I guess in my mind, me personally, that's a lot of money, but to potentially fix it and stop it from getting any worse, that's pretty cheap, so.
That's a good investment if it's, if it works.
Otherwise, you know, we kind of talked to, who did it, Dodge Centers, had to redo theirs, and it cost tens of thousands of dollars to professionally grind it down and recoat it. Unfortunately, whether it was when the pool was built, but that water, where it's pitting is the water doesn't ever drain. So when the pool's empty, it just sits in that like 5 foot section and doesn't actually drain all the way down. So, I don't know, poor engineering plan, I guess, I don't know. And then, Tim and I had kind of discussed, he's been throwing around the idea of solar tops for the last couple years, which is like that, I guess, bubble wrap material. So I kind of priced it out for what it would take to do the lap pool. So obviously the pool that's the heater's running the most out of. We're looking at $3,300, which really surprises me. So that's, I made a little math.
Solar top, I don't quite understand.
It'd be like, oh, I'll try to pull something up. I should have printed off some pictures.
Was that a clearest one or a
yep.
silverest one? Or?
It's like it is, I mean, it's maybe a baby blue or a clear bubble wrap, essentially.
On Island Pool, we had a clear one for years and then changed to a silver one. The silver one lasted a lot longer.
Okay.
I don't know the details of it. It's quite a bit of work to put it on.
So that'll be my next...
I mean, a bunch of teenagers.
That's essentially
like
it.
Three people that would be in charge of doing
it. And it's just a big blanket.
Oh, all right.
So you're saying the city workers should be able to handle it, the kids can.
Well,
it goes on every night, so the kids are going to be doing it.
Yep.
So this is kind of where... You're looking at six 20-foot rolls, okay? So all of them are on, you know, a cart with a spool, but it's a manual spool, so you have to pull it out, but you can reel it back in. But after measuring the pool and figuring out, you know, they only make the reel so big before they don't make them after 20 foot. So after measuring and everything, we're looking at six reels of 20-foot long rolls. Do we have the place to store them during the day? Maybe. My only thought would be behind the water slides there. I think that we could, you know, manage to do that. It'll be a test, essentially. I don't know what kind of money we could save on heating. You know, it's supposed to ideally, they work the best during the day because they attract the sun, whatever, but they help trap the heat during the evening. So I would be interested to see what kind of difference we could potentially see for doing that.
What are our heating costs? Gas, I guess it is.
I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head. It would be nice to know if we, it would be nice to know what each pool is, and I don't think we have the ability to, I guess, figure that in. We just have the total gas bill. It would be nice to know, you know, how much we're spending on the lap pool versus the activity pool.
That would be majority of the gas bill is the heating of the pool, right?
Oh, yeah, like.
And so if you put this on there, and then you see, oh, you just see a decrease, you know, you can only go one way, I guess.
Yeah.
So it would be.
Is this stuff fairly light to where it can be rolled up so easy?
Yeah. So essentially, once it gets on the water, though, it's almost like it's suction cupped on the water. So think of it as like if you throw a towel in a pool, it's like, you know, suction cupped down to the surface. I'm not saying that if we don't, you know, if we have a huge wind that it couldn't blow off.
Kind of like when you drop your sandwich on the floor, it sticks in my sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So it's like bubble wrap, like exactly like bubble wrap, except maybe like 4 mil plastic or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably just a.
Yeah, it's pretty thin.
A tight bubble.
At a glance, you'd think it was plain old bubble wrap.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just heavy plastic.
Okay.
Do you see how much this was?
For all six rolls with the reels, we were looking at $3,300. So that's not.
That's pretty cheap.
It's not near as bad as what I had thought originally.
And this would be just the lap pool we were
taking
in?
I just think if we were to, I'm not saying we couldn't do both pools at some point, but now you're looking at where are you going to store all these things.
Well, so you get a wind that picks up. How light are these on these? Reels must be fairly heavy.
Oh, so I think, you know, when I was a kid, my parents had a pool. They had the same type of cover. They're pretty heavy. I mean, the wind's not going to blow the reel away.
Okay.
That's for sure. I guess my only concern would be if it's on the water. Right? You could potentially, a wind could come in and take it, yes. I don't know how easily or how big of a wind it would have to be.
At the Highland pool, about two times a year, it would get messed up by the wind enough that you'd have to get in the pool and drag them around and straighten out.
So it's never like it ripped it out of the pool and.
No, they always stayed in the pool but got all messed up. And
okay.
When they were stored on the reels, we had to lash them to the fences, otherwise the wind would blow.
Oh, I suppose they might roll it.
They're
going to
get pushed around, because you get a storm that kicks up and you get some wind swirling. And
so,
yeah, so to store them behind the slide would be.
I think that's, you know, it's a fairly narrow and contained area that there's not much place for them to go when they would be in their storage state, you know. So I don't foresee them getting very far, I guess. You know, we wouldn't, it's not like they'd be stored right next to the water, so we don't have to worry about them blowing into the pool or anything like that.
Do you have to be in the pool to lay these down?
Well,
you know, when you go to
the ones along the sides, you don't.
No, but you do the sides and kind of probably shove it to the middle. I suppose they'd get a pattern.
Yeah, so the way I had it on my map is I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4 going down the middle of the two pools, right? So two of the four you're going to have to pull out to the middle because you don't have an edge to walk along. But the kids get in the pool to vacuum it. How's that any, you know? It's just kind of one of those things that, you know, we kind of threw around, and if we could save money.
Well, for, you know, for $3,400 or $3,300, that's a pretty inexpensive way to test one pool to see the effect of this and longevity, at least for a year or two.
Right. So I gotta sit down with Tim yet, and we kinda gotta hatch out some of these things that we can potentially just get done this year, or purchase this year, or vice versa, wait till next year.
So going back to the Funbrella tops, just.
Yep.
Something in my mind. So if they make a mesh one that's fairly inexpensive compared to the canvas ones that are solid, would it be a possibility to consider getting a couple of the canvas ones, sorry, the mesh ones sooner, put a couple out right away, pull some of your canvas ones off as spares, now you've got a couple of mesh ones in, you know, either the two ends or the, somewhere, and just see what the durability is, and then maybe for the future you'll know mesh is the way to go, and it might be a little cooler because it's breathable.
Right.
And then you still have a couple, like I said, if you had something that tore, you would have the canvas ones as backups if need be, because of, you know, the canvas ones are probably showing some age too.
Yeah, you know, and since I've started, and after even talking to some of the guys, you know, we have the mesh tops for those birthday areas, and they have not had any replacements or repairs to them since the pool's been built.
Okay.
Now, this year we did have a rip through one of them from one of the big windstorms. They say it's repairable. So I would have no problem.
If it'll pass,
you know,
to get a couple to.
The last time I was quoted a price, you know, they were about $1,940, so $1,940 for a mesh top versus the $2,295.
And everything's going up, you know, so figure $2,000.
Yeah.
Just something to put in, to maybe something to give to Tim, so it might be an opportunity to try something, you know, as kind of preventive maintenance or future use of, you know, what the.
Right. I have no problem with starting that. I'd like to start the transition. You know, we do have two spare tops if we're just going to run the seven umbrellas like planned.
Yeah.
Which, but I wouldn't mind getting some mesh ones. Because eventually, I mean, if we can get all the umbrellas fixed, I'd like to have all the umbrellas back up.
Sure.
I mean, there's no point in having the spots for them if we're not going to.
Yeah, just get yourself a couple, test them out, and see what happens.
If it passes, it passes. If not, at least we know.
Right. Yeah. I know Dodge Center does the mesh, and they seem to be fine, but then again, I don't know if they've replaced them or how often or. I think that's about. Yep, that's about it as far as kind of the major changes. And we're not going slushy machine next year.
No. Correct.
We didn't make that decision,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll have to find something that we can sell that's, you know, kind of equivalent to a slushy, I guess, as far as an ice cream.
Mrs. Patty sells those.
I know exactly what you're talking about, the kind of cone-shaped thing.
Yep. And she sells a ton of those whenever we have an event with the students. That's like their number one thing, and they're gluten-free.
Okay.
So it's an easy thing for kids with gluten allergies or intolerances, so a lot of people pick those. But dairy-free, too, that might be an easy one.
Okay.
Are they messy?
They're just as messy as a
slushy.
Probably.
Okay.
Actually, isn't there a gumball in the middle of them?
No idea.
I think so, because my daughter loves them now. Now that I think about it, it's jogging my memory. But no, I think it would be ideal if we could find something kind of equivalent to the slushy, because those were a hot commodity, but it was a nightmare for maintenance.
Even the hockey rink took the slushy machines out too. They are a pain.
Okay. Good. Make a note of that.
What?
Replacement.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, is that it? Pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. Vice Chair, when I first started, we talked about it, but we never picked one. And, you know, normally, which is no big deal because I'm usually here all the time anyways, but I got a job and it's an evening job. So I they're really flexible with this. Obviously, I'm at work right now, but they didn't have any issues that, but if at one point or one time I can't make it, or if y'all want to keep me here, whatever, we need to, anybody want to volunteer to?
I nominate Greg.
Fill in.
Wait, he said volunteer.
Oh, did you volunteer, Greg? I thought I heard you say I'll do it.
I don't think I can, just one council.
Yeah.
So I'm out.
I honestly, I'd be willing to do it if that's, is there any rule to that?
That'd be a good question for Cam.
Well, usually, Ronnie usually took over too when nobody was in charge.
That's true. He did, yeah.
But you might as well ask Tim anyways and see what he says.
So can we just do a preliminary, like, I volunteer myself to do it and then tribute?
Yeah.
And then the trickle-down effect?
Yeah. Because I mean, let's be honest, if I'm not here, we're not having a park board meeting.
Right.
So.
And that's what Ronnie figured too.
Oh. Yeah, but if I showed up, I talked too long, they still complained.
So anyways, all right, well, great. Thanks, Ben. Yeah, check with Tim and see what he says. Okay, old business, implementing new revenue building ideas for Cassin Aquatic Center.
So I know at our last meeting, which seemed like a long, long time ago, we had talked about, you know, these revenue building ideas. Kind of had left with, everyone should come up with something, let's come back, discuss it, which maybe we forgot, which is fine. Which we're not in a rush to, you know, get something right now. I would like to keep working on it, whether it's throughout this winter, just so that we have a handful of ideas that we can narrow down to, whether it's one or two ideas that we, you know, go with and really try to hatch out the, you know, the kinks and try to make sure that when we approach it for the season, that we're ready for it.
Yeah.
Was that some of the, like, the rent out the pool to, like, companies, was that part of the discussion?
Yeah, so that was, Tim had mentioned that, I can't remember where he was at when, wherever he was or, but he said that they do a sponsor night. He could obviously better explain it than I can because I wasn't there and I'm not exactly sure how it was set up or run. But I just think we need to keep exploring some of those ideas and try to collectively find something that is easy without, you know, I know you had talked about, like, what, a movie? Or
like, food vendors.
You know, so the food vendor thing, you know, we wouldn't really lose anything on it.
No.
David seems like a pretty motivated guy.
Yep.
Maybe you could just throw all the ideas at him and let him run with whatever.
Yeah, so that was kind of part of why I wanted to get him approved as far as the manager, to try to get him acclimated to how things are operated at the pool, get him familiarized with the MyRec stuff, and then whatever ideas we have or he might have, you know, maybe he could help us out, or, you know, he's going to be the one doing it, so he needs to be involved.
Do we, like, a donation box, or is that kind of out of the, because that's city property stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I get where you're going with it. I don't think we want to do something like that.
Okay, thought I'd ask.
Well, I think part of the conversation was, can, you know, like, my point of sale at the store, say, would you like to round up to the next dollar and donate the different cents to a program? That came across my mind the other day at work, and I couldn't remember what it was for, but now you say it.
For KVM.
Yeah.
The Veterans Memorial.
Is that what that was for?
Yeah.
Okay. I just have to find out if I can
still do
it.
We don't want to go into it asking the people who are paying for the pool to give us donations to help the pool. Right?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
We want people to come to the pool and spend money at the pool because they enjoy the pool.
I think of, like, what we do at school is, one of the issues I've seen at the pool is sometimes our behavior of our pool patrons.
Yep.
Because they're not always supervised by their parents. That's best, I would say. Doing something where the lifeguards, they catch those kids being good, they can give them like a token or something, get their name on it, something, like a ticket. They put it in for a drawing at the end of the week, that kid wins like a $5 gift card of the concessions.
Or even ice cream or...
It does something to benefit, motivate the kids to behave. Because we do have a lot of kids that don't always have an adult with them. And there were times a couple years ago when I bring my daughter in, I wouldn't stay as long because I didn't want my daughter around the behaviors. Not that the lifeguards weren't doing their job, it's just you can't control everything that happens around there. Maybe having some kind of incentive program or reward program for behavior might increase behaviors, which might increase the number of people in the pool because they want to live lives. Or a daily belly flop contest or something to motivate them, something that they can do throughout the day.
Yeah, well...
Lifeguard for a day.
So my plan is to not have a meeting for December. It makes no sense to have a meeting for December. But I really would like us to dive into, like, come back in January. Let's really dive into the possible ideas. I got some homework myself to do about it. I can reach out to other aquatic centers and see what kind of things that they do to try to bring patrons in, or if they have, you know, whether it's a specific type of night, theme night, or whatever it may be.
And to bring back the idea of the last day have dogs.
That's an absolute no.
That's a question mark. So we'll bring it back in January. One night, last night, cool.
Dog night?
Put some filters in there, it'd be fine. No cats, though.
And we'll bring you up there to help clean.
Imagine that dog jumping off the high deck. Though.
Oh, my.
It's kind of fun.
Or going down a slide. Going down
a slide. I think it's a great idea. We'll clean together.
I'm more worried about what I want.
Yeah, you'll be on poop duty.
They won't be pooping in the water. It'll be along the sidewalk and fences.
I think with that sponsor night, like getting someone to sponsor.
That's a cool idea.
Either their company, like if Mayo sponsors a family fun night and they invite their families, or if you just sponsor a night where people in the community can come, I think either are great ideas. Just have the businesses that can afford that, and then how do we promote that?
Well, I think, trying to remember, which obviously this was a while ago, but we had, you know, you had, Greg, you had brought up, like during the fair or during festival about discounted rates, right? I think you did, I don't know. But then we kind of rolled it over into like having a company sponsor the pool.
It'd be a company sponsor the pool during the fair or during... Because you wouldn't be able to get enough people to say, oh, I'm going to go to the pool and the fair and the pool.
Right.
So you need to say, these people, right. This was the August minutes. So we talked about KM Telecom, Hy-Vee employees, NA Electric employees, Chamber employees, and all their families. And it's like, you get to the Chamber, that's every, you know, there's a lot of businesses, and anybody that's in a business can get their kids to the pool. So there's that opportunity. Those would be the ones that you'd probably want to do during, like, the fair.
Right.
Because that's really, truthfully, the downtime. You don't want, you know, I don't, they're either going to go to the fair and do rides, or they're going to...
Well, and I even think, like, you know, McNeilius always does that for the fair for their employees.
Yep.
And with them getting into the grandstands and the fair tickets, or ride tickets and things like that, you know.
And I think one of those days, does McNeilius only pick one of the days during the weekend?
Yeah, it's usually like a Saturday, I believe.
It's Saturday night.
Yep.
Okay, so this Saturday day could be, you know, McNeilius Fair Day or morning and afternoon.
Right.
Shutting down at 4 o'clock or something, and then, you know, at that point open to the public for just the evening, but at least we got our $500 that they give McNeilius employees the entire day. Something, but...
we talked about working with Vanderbilt this year. They would be willing to lose some of their city property tax dollars citizen discount to them, their residents.
That was discussed, and it hadn't really gone any... It has not gone any further than just a discussion between me and Tim. I'm not sure... I guess I don't know personally how to go any further with it, other than without Tim helping with that. So I guess that would be something that I can bring back up with Tim and just see if that's...
So that'd be a question of how many people that are coming from Manorville paying that extra...
We just, I brought up because people from Manorville...
Dollars.
The bunch of people complaining on Facebook were actually from Manorville, and they don't pay city taxes to our pool, so...
And obviously, there's a, I understand why we have it the way we do. But we've always been cast in Manorville, and there's no reason why we can't incorporate Manorville into the city of Caston's pool.
Just at what dollar figure, and then Manorville's council saying, well, how much are you looking for? You know, can we name it Caston Manorville Pool? You know, I'm sure there's also things...
If Tim could break it down for cost per resident here, they do the same in Manorville. We're not asking them to be like a 50-50 split or anything. I'm just saying if there was a way to ask for something that could help defer some of these costs or some of the projects that you talked about today, that might help.
Absolutely.
So when people register, obviously they have to put the city they're from. Is there any way of looking about how many are from Manorville? Or, that would be...
So that would give us
an
idea how many actually Manorville residents saying, well, if they could save that much more money, then you got something to go back to their council on and say.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Cheapest way for that would just be Manorville pays the difference, subsidizing them for the residents, that'd be
Well, that and above a little bit to help with the, some expenses of, you know, say they paid, you know, 10% of our pool expense or something as a donation, and then, that's, you know, have Tim reach out. I mean, you got to find out their interest, and, you know, it's probably not going to happen. I don't know if it happens next year because there's going to be a lot of bantering back and forth.
They're going to approve their city budget for next year anyway, so it wouldn't be this year, for next year.
But it would be a good conversation.
Try to get moving.
Try to get something going, say, what's the interest of?
Right now, we're paying about $300 more for a $350,000 house per year in property taxes in Manorville, so not that far off than most of the areas.
All right, so January, we hit with our ideas then.
Yeah, I'd like to really, you know, buckle down and focus.
All right.
We get a good reminder of that when the next packet comes out.
I don't know, once a week.
No,
no.
I'll look forward to the dog.
You know what? I could send, you know, I could meet with Ashley and we could send one out about the time we would have a December meeting.
Sure.
You know, just to kind of, rather than having a meeting, we'll send out a reminder about the ideas for revenue building.
Will you have met with David prior to that?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe you can see what he thinks too.
Because, let's see, you guys have council tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, what's it, the 5th of December?
We have 2 in December.
Right? Yep.
Okay, so we can't approve the budget. We'll back up. Usually we cancel the second one if there's...
Okay, because I'm hoping that I can get it, David, into the next council meeting.
Tomorrow.
Well, it's a little late for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You should be able to add it.
I don't know. I'd have to talk to Tim. I didn't get a chance to...
We got a resignation added today for city council, so I probably could.
Okay.
I would think...
I'll see if I can't get him in tomorrow.
Yeah. Don't want to lose him to Dodge Center.
No. He already comes from Rochester. Yeah. He's from Rochester, and I've even discussed to him about, you know, kind of a hodgepodge of ordering as far as through Sam's Club and this and that. He's like, well, I could stop on my way in.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you already got, I'm sold.
Kind of pre-transportation to goods.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, and like I said, when I met with him the very first time, he seemed very eager and excited about the job, and he didn't even know if he could take it. He had to sit down and discuss it with his wife first, and no, I'm excited, so it'll be nice to have someone that's present.
Yeah.
you know, I'm not knocking on any of the past managers. It's just hard to have a manager when they're not there.
All right. Anything else for that? B, Jason Wilker.
So I have Jason, I haven't gotten in touch with him yet, but plant 5 more trees out at Veterans Park behind North 2. So we're slowly but surely rebuilding the trees that we've removed. Got quite a variety, some oaks, some maples, some birch, some lindens, a little bit of everything's gonna go. I like the idea of a wide array of trees.
Yeah, that way if a disease comes up, you're not taking out the whole crop again.
Right. And on Veterans Park, talking about it anyway, I don't know if you guys remember that we had that Dylan, I think his name was Dylan, that doing the Eagle Scouts project for building the helmet racks. So he did get that completed and got them installed in the dugouts at the ball fields.
AVM update. We're supposed to be meeting tomorrow.
Yep. Yep.
Ain't gonna make it, but I'll let everybody know.
Okay. There's not a lot to update everyone on, and Chuck, you can add or whatever if I missed something. Our last meeting we met with some business owners, and Trevor Lamplin was one of them. I had reached out to him prior to that meeting and just kind of gave him the spiel about what we're planning and what we're doing and everything. So the goal of that meeting was to essentially talk to these business owners and see what they like and don't like as far as how a group approaches someone about donations, and then any ideas that they see that we could, you know, work on. My biggest takeaway, so Trevor Lamplin was willing to do the site work for the project. I emailed him the plans, and I'm still working with our monument distributor to get weights and things like that. But basically, all the business owners talked about getting a monetary value of the work that is donated and put that into the money raised. So rather than saying, okay, we have, you know, X amount in our account, we add that value of the work donated to that so that people understand that it's not just, you know,
we don't need $250,000, now we need $110,000.
Right.
And it just, and it doesn't scare everybody away. It's like, ooh, gosh, that's a lot.
Would you list that as monetary donations then? Because I think if you're going to say, oh, you know, we've raised $250,000, they're going to say, oh, okay, well, where's all your money? You don't have that much in your account. So you're going to list that, you know, so-and-so donated X
well,
amount?
Well, and we would say, you know, we have... You know, I think the best way to approach something like that would be like, you know, we've raised X amount, right? Whether it's, and then say through donations and goodwill, you know, labor, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I don't like sticking a number to a company's name or an individual's name.
Right, but yeah, but I was just thinking that you can't say that we've raised $250,000 and you don't actually have that kind of money. You've raised, you know, $150,000, the rest have been through, you know, donations or something.
Yep.
But.
And then, did we ever discuss if you guys would be willing to or could do that roundup?
I just made a note so I can check.
Okay.
It popped in my head, I was sitting the other day at work, Mike. You know, it's one of those things, it's just making the right call to the right person, and do I have the right type of software in place, and, you know, how do we track it, and, yeah, so I'm gonna, I'll make a note.
Okay.
Probably won't be till December, because you got Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of weekends.
That's fine.
I'll look into it, see if it's something that we could do at our point of sale.
Okay.
We talked about maybe like liquor store.
Yep, and they said they could. I just got to reach out to the new manager, because Kathy is now retired, so.
So, but yeah, whether Hy-Vee will or won't, you know, it kind of depends on, but that'd be a way to.
Hy-Vee's doing it for somebody right now. I don't know who, but. Okay.
So.
No, yeah.
Okay, I'll check into it for our site, so.
Okay. Oh, but theirs is just raising money for the veterans, correct?
Yeah.
Not the rule, yeah. Did you guys see any influx of donations after the flyers went out around mid-October when the students did, or?
No.
No, not really. Got a couple of concerns about, they consider it a ding-dong ditch thing, because some people work at home, and some of the kids put the thing on the door and ring the doorbell like crazy and then ran off and.
I found ours out in the yard. It didn't stay on the door. It was hard to read, I'll say.
It was out there.
It was very small print.
A lot of information put on a small flyer.
Yeah, and with the picture, that wasn't what was going in there either, though, was it?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay, I was thinking of something different, but.
Yeah, it was there.
It was, I mean, yeah, somebody might have.
Tell the kids not to ring the doorbell.
Hmm.
But you can't make them knock on the door.
That's right. Mm-hmm, so, yeah, it was. It was okay, though. Thanks to them for doing it, and maybe some one, two people picked up on it and said, oh, we'll find out. I just got the bank statement the other day, so I haven't opened it up yet.
Well, I just got the mail the other day and it was nothing but ads, so.
Oh, okay.
We did raise that couple, like a little over $100-some, $20 from the Penny Wars.
Okay.
Oh, did you? Cool, good.
So the effort's there from the kids.
Yep, I think right now we're just kind of in a little bit of a lull here. We need to push through it. I know we're all kind of hesitant on, you know, trying to approach these other businesses. I think the big one, the fact that Trevor's willing to do the site work is a huge deal. That was kind of another thing is in his opinion, you know, he said we should try to get started on some of this as far as the construction work goes sooner than later to show that we're making progress, that we're committed. You know, once you tear down the old one, you got to be committed to replace what's there, which obviously there's not much there to begin with, so it's not much of a tear down, but to at least start the construction of it, whether if we can, you know, I think a huge, huge expense will be the concrete work. Not only are those monuments, you know, $100,000, but that concrete work is probably $50,000, if not more. So if we could get some of that stuff knocked out, I mean, it would look a lot better.
Are we still talking to putting it more in the central part of the park?
No. We had agreed on pretty much the existing.
Same footprint to kind of where it's at?
It'd be a bigger footprint, but where it's at, yes.
So on the.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
At our last city council meeting, an idea was floated by one of our councilmembers to sell off the liquor store.
Yep.
And that led to a conversation about being more purposeful with liquor store funds that we earn as the municipal earns money, setting a percent aside for a specific item, like park and rec.
Yep.
Maybe that's a conversation you have with Tim about if we continue to run and operate the liquor store and we want to be more purposeful with those funds, maybe asking for a specific percent of the liquor store funds yearly go towards a project like this so that we know you'll see a yearly influx of money over the next year or two or whatever, how long ever it takes. Then it also shows dedication from the city side of it, that, hey, we want to get this done. And then we can pick the next project after that.
Yeah.
Or if it just goes into your park budget. But that was a discussion, because I think people were going back and forth on what's best, keeping it or selling it, or to keep it, we make a yearly profit. As Kathy did for 25 years.
Right.
Giving a specific percent might help, and then knowing what you want to spend it on. So maybe having that conversation with Tim, because he seemed open to that idea.
Okay.
At the last meeting, and say, maybe this is that project you want, 20% of the liquor store funds or revenue goes towards this.
Yeah, I mean, if that's a topic for discussion with council and me and Tim, I'd love to, you know, try to push for that.
I would have that conversation.
Even if it comes down to, you know, me and Chuck, or me and a few members, you know, to a council meeting to kind of, you know, explain what we got and where we're at with it. So if they have questions, we can answer.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea.
All right, correspondence.
I do have one thing just to touch base with. Did we talk about that the wheelchair swing is done and everything? Well, we did have the grand opening for it. I don't know when it was now. End of September, maybe it was the first part of October, I don't remember. It was a really good turnout.
Good.
Folks were very happy with the turnout of the project. Pretty much about what I expected is I've caught a few kids horsing around on it, had to yell at them. I mean, I guess I don't know what else to expect. But we did put a very large sign on the swing that says wheelchair use only, adult supervision. I don't know how more.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, so, but it was a good turnout and a lot of happy folks, and it was kind of one of those things to hang your head high and.
Yeah, and thanks everybody here for going with it.
And we still have some things that we could add around it, right?
Yep, so there still is money in the funds that we had raised. So the plan is to kind of this winter go through and find out what standalone sensory features we can afford, because those are also not cheap. But it would be nice to put some of those along the sidewalk for some of those kids that are able-bodied to utilize those features. So I got a little research to do on my own for this winter on finding something that's affordable but also enjoyable.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, awesome project. You know, other than
cameras on that?
No.
You don't need to tell everybody that.
We have cameras in a lot of other areas. I just didn't know if that was on, maybe we wanted to focus on next, because that was a heavily funded project and we want it to last. And
yeah. One of the reasons we did it right and not get anything that was cheap.
Right.
Just a thought, I don't know, if you have more of the cameras laying around or not.
So, all right. Any more discussions on anything? Nope. Okay, well, I need a motion to adjourn then.
Make the motion.
Second?
I'll second. I usually never do. I want to stay.
A motion,
I gotta go back
second,
to work.
And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Great. Yes, good job.
Where are you at?
Elementary school.